Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
If I may, just a very quick personal note, because I know St. Margaret listens. I know my brother comes back and listens to the podcast. My brother is recovering from surgery this morning, doing very well.
Good.
He had hip, he's 51 years old.
Yeah.
51. Had hip replacement surgery this morning.
Shouldn't run that marathon.
I told him that last night. We're on the phone.
Was this it?
So I called him and I said, hey, he had to go in early at 5 to the hospital because he was second in line and they don't know when number one's going to end. And they want to be ready to go with Steve as soon as they're done. And I said, Beaver, you never should have run that marathon. I said, you were never the same after you ran that marathon.
The choices we make.
He wasn't. I mean, this is a guy who played soccer, coached soccer all of his life, trained for a marathon because, quote, I want to prove to myself I can do it. That's admirable.
Yeah.
So he gets the hip replacement. When are you getting your knees replaced?
When I start walking like he was walking with his
Scott,
hip.
You are beyond due for that surgery, and you know it, and you don't want to do it, and that is your choice, and that is fine, but you are overdue. For what it's worth, I have heard the hip surgery recovery is easier than the knee.
By the way, I don't need knee replacement surgery.
Oh.
I need meniscus tear surgery.
Oh, okay.
Because Dana did set me up with a doctor over at KU last year in 2024, and I went in for some very expensive tests.
And what did he say?
He said, you do not need your knees replaced.
But?
You need meniscus surgery.
Okay. So you need new meniscus.
It's meniscus, Dan.
I scheduled a doctor's appointment this morning for the first time in a decade.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Yeah, see? Forward.
Thank
That's
you.
The new word.
Actionable change.
Actionable change.
That's right.
I scheduled a doctor's appointment myself.
We have been on you for how long, Sam, to do that? I'm very proud of you.
Well,
I know
you want to guess when it is?
When did they get
2028?
You in?
2028? No, it's in March. It's in freaking March.
But this is a routine physical, right?
This is the annual adult physical, yes.
This is the first ever Sam Stevie.
This will be my
adult
first
physical.
Ever adult physical.
Good.
All right. Get ready.
You're going to come out of there go, why didn't I do this sooner? I'm telling you, you're going to be
no
fine.
It's no big deal. They take your blood pressure. Don't eat before you go in.
14 hours before.
That's right, because they got to take your blood work.
No, I want to do it tomorrow. Why do I have to wait till March 25th? I'm going
to
forget about it.
Welcome to the insurance and medical system of America.
You'll be fine. I'm proud of you.
Like, I'm going to call in March. My physical has to be after May 1st. You can't do two physicals within 12 calendar months.
Mm-hmm.
Or insurance, or at least our insurance won't pay for it.
I mean, you can.
Yeah, if you want to pay for it.
As a hypochondriac, right.
Right. And so I will call in either February or March just to get on their calendar for right after May 1st.
Yeah. I set one up, and it's only a month wait, so.
Well, your doctor must not be very good.
Is that what that means? Mine's amazing?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same doc I've been going to my entire life.
How would you know? You haven't seen him in 10 years.
Well, I think it's the same guy. He's got the same name.
The last time Sam was in there, he was 4. The doctor's going to be like, I've never seen you before.
Oh, the front desk lady I spoke with, she goes, it looks like you're a new patient. And I was like, dig harder. I'm in there.
Dig deeper, lady.
You're going to go in and see your pediatrician and maybe get a sucker.
At the time, I was known as Sammy.
Yeah. Yeah. March. I'll see him in March.
Good.
How are those skin knees?
Wow.
Love it.
You don't have anything you're concerned about, do you?
I mean, no, not necessarily. I've had if we're going full expose here, I've had some weird veins on my right leg my entire life. And
they'll fix
14,
all of that stuff.
The doctor was like, it's fine. Don't worry about it. And I ran with that motto for the last 14 years. So
well, now
I
you're
should
in
get
adulthood.
Another look.
Now that you're in adulthood, you should just have them checked out.
Welcome to adulting.
Yeah.
Good for you.
And drop your pants.
And that.
Moon River.
You got the whole fist in there, Doc?
All right.
Story here from CNN. Philadelphia Eagles running back Saquon Barkley will likely not play in the team's final game of the season, meaning that Eric Dickerson's NFL single-season rushing record that is more than 40 years old will remain safe.
Oh, man.
Barkley has 2,005 rushing yards on the season. He is 101 yards away from breaking Dickerson's record.
Well, 101, that's a bit.
He could do that in the first half.
He could do
that easily, but Dickerson got the record in a 14-game season.
Check that, 16?
16-game season.
Hmm.
So he's already not gotten the record.
Because teams now play 17 games.
That's fair.
And I would make
you have to compare the apples to the apples.
I agree with both of you. I would make the argument if you could not get to 2105 in 16 games, the record is still Eric Dickerson's. Just like if you can't hit 78, 79 home runs, whatever it is, without being juiced, then the record goes back to 61 in Major League Baseball. And Eric Dickerson was not shy about the fact that he did not want his record broken.
Well, I think most people don't. They are usually more humble about it. And
he's not humble about
it. Like Tony Gonzalez saying to Travis Kelce, I'm rooting for you. I'll pay the fine.
Yeah. I saw an interview with Eric Dickerson over the week. I keep wanting to say over the weekend, during this week, where he said, anybody who says records are meant to be broken never held a record.
Never held one. Love it.
He says, I do not want Barkley to break my record.
All right. So as of this morning, Kansas City is expecting at least 4 to 6 inches of snow, up to 8 inches or potentially much more in the northern areas of our listening audience. Okay. Quoting here from the National Weather Service in Pleasant Hill. It is possible if the cold air comes in quicker before this weekend, Scott, it could be, quote, a really big snow event. And if you've been online today, you've seen numbers all over the board, including some crazy numbers we're not even going to repeat on this program.
Bring
like
it.
Psychotically crazy snow totals.
Why are you so in love with the winter?
Oh,
I don't know. I just love winter and snow sports. And
bring it.
Oh, you too?
Driving in the snow. Oh, my God. Yeah.
I haven't gotten to flex my 4x4 once this season.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Dan, did you know that snow is different than rain?
Is it?
Because if you miss the 2 o'clock hour, you miss that little nugget that Scott dropped on all of us.
The things you learned.
Brian Busby is going to join us here in a little bit.
He can't say it.
What? Oh, he can't say it?
He says, if I say it at 3:15, they'll be on to me at 5 o'clock.
Okay.
So he knows the buzzword.
We wanted Busby to say, you know, snow is different than rain.
He just sent me a text says, I can't do that because
they'll be
on to me. So we have to wait until the newscast starts and then I'll do it.
And then he'll do it. Okay. So he's joining us at 3:15 to break down the best, latest information about what could be coming this way over the weekend. And the National Weather Service is certain enough about some of it, Scott, that we are running Operation Stormwatch.
Correct.
Are the kids still out of school?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they are.
Well, expect to have them for a few more days.
The older college kids are still out of school.
So are the elementary school
kids. Okay, I'm not speaking. I'm out of that phase of my life. I have no idea what your all's younger kids are doing.
I was driving home from the grocery store this morning, and at the high school, the parking lot was empty. At the elementary school, the parking lot was empty. There were no kids on the playground today.
They go back Monday would be my guess.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
And they may be
The reason that the estimates are all over the map, literally, and Dana's right, some of these numbers that they were showing on some of the other channels are borderline irresponsible because these are raw data numbers, right?
But the reason is that snow is different than rain.
Bingo.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. It's harder to predict because snow is different than rain.
Right.
It's the water literally, whatever.
Wow.
Water.
Try again.
Water.
Water. Come on. Literality.
You can do it.
Water listery.
What did she say?
It was, well, I'll tell you.
Oh, it's water terial.
Water terial.
Right. Here it is. I've got it.
Water terial form.
I think that's a made up word. Right.
it's not. That's my word of the year, Dan.
Okay. Snow is anti-water terial. No. Rain is pro-water terial.
That is correct.
Okay.
Snow is frozen water terial.
1 inch of rain, you can get a foot of snow.
That is correct. Mm. That's why rain is different than snow.
I want everyone to try to work that word into a sentence.
Snow is different than rain. Yeah.
Which is colder?
What'd you say? Which is colder?
Which is colder?
Well, I don't know.
Water terial form.
I gotta get the bread and milk. I gotta get the bread and... They said snow! I gotta get the bread and milk! Oh my God!
Got a message from Boss within the last hour that we are already under Operation Stormwatch. Stay with KMBZ for the latest. It is presented by JR and Company Roofing. Here on KMBZ, story here from Channel 9. Confidence continues to grow in a winter storm impacting the Kansas City region this weekend, and impact and alert days have already been issued for Saturday and Sunday. Now is the time to start preparing. How much ice and snow can you expect? The storm is still more than 2,600 miles away from Kansas City. Even minor changes in the storm's track could result in significant variations in ice and snow totals for our community. So let's go to the source himself. Channel 9 Chief Meteorologist and Jerk Air Board Member Brian Busby joining us on the KMBZ Hotline. Hello, Brian.
Hello, Scott. Hello, Dana.
Hi.
Hello, Sam. Happy New Year to all.
Same. What are we looking at?
Right now, I'm looking at a monitor that shows temperatures that are all across the area. And the Arctic air has not gotten here yet. If you're talking about the snowstorm this weekend, as you mentioned, it's over 2,000 miles away. And so a lot can change. Just a little bit of a variance is going to make all the difference in the world. And that's why it's still kind of funny that people are going crazy and already going to get milk and bread. But I still think that earlier in the weekend, you can get things done. On Saturday, the better. Saturday night into most of Sunday is when we're going to see the brunt of the storm affecting us.
It's hard to predict, isn't it?
Absolutely, you know, because rain is different than snow.
And there it is.
The word that Scott needs to put in there is forecasting rain is different than forecasting snow.
I think that's what he meant, Brian, but you know, we're just so thankful that that's not how it came out.
True. And I forgot the word that you invented about being hydrated.
Yes.
Drinking water.
What it's water terial. It's in its water terial form, Brian.
Water terial form. Okay.
Currently.
Got to write that one down.
So speaking of water terial form, where will the difference be, if we know yet, between the freezing rain, the ice, the snow, and all of those things?
If we have to talk in general terms, since it is over 2,000 miles away, anything the farther south you go of I-70, not saying there's anything magical about that boundary, but it's just a good reference point. The farther south you go, the more likely you're going to have more of the freezing rain sleet combination. The farther north that you go, the more likely it's going to be all snow. So the heaviest of the snow looks like it'll be north 36 Highway for sure, and even in the northland of Kansas City's metro. Farther south, that's where we'll see the ice and the snow. The trouble is, it's probably going to start as either freezing rain or sleet and then change over to snow. And the longer that takes to change over, the more difficult it's going to be to say exactly how much is going to accumulate. I mean, think of it this way. To really hammer home the point that Scott was trying to make, you've seen when we show temperatures like in Liberty or Odessa or Lawrence, and maybe, well, I'm looking at them right now. Lawrence is 47, Odessa's 43, Liberty's 42, Lacine is 50. Not a big deal, right? So if anything falls from the sky, it'll be rain. But if the temperature is different than 32 degrees or less, that's going to change what's going to stick on the ground. And so that's part of the problem that makes snow forecasting so difficult, because we can appreciate those temperature differences over a small area, but it's so much more critical when you're talking about what sort of precipitation you're going to get. The other thing is, 1 inch of rain is usually capable of producing 10 inches of snow. And in the summer, if I say a half an inch of rain will fall over your house, and only 3/10 of an inch falls over your house, that's 2/10 that I'm off, right?
Right.
But using that 1-10 ratio of snow, instead of 5 inches that half inch of rain will produce, you're only getting 3. Therefore, whoa, he missed it by 2 whole inches. Yeah. So the error in snow forecasting is 10 times as great of that in rain. And we don't care about, honestly, unless you're a farmer, getting correct on how much rain is going to be over your neighborhood. But the snow, you definitely want to know.
Is there a magic number that you're aware of regarding the temperature when it comes to slick roads?
That really depends on if they're pre-treated. It also depends on how much daylight, i.e. sun, can heat up the asphalt and how difficult it is for it to cool back down. You know, it also depends on if rain has already fallen on the surface and then you get any gusty wind that's going to blow in and kind of cool things off more rapidly and change whatever is on the ground to a little bit of ice. I would say anything below 28 degrees or so, that's when you start to get into those problems where you could run into slick spots. And, of course, bridges and overpasses because they're elevated.
Right.
Because you don't have anything to keep it warmer, i.e. ground underneath that decking, and you do have some of that colder air that can go underneath the bridge, it's going to cool down quicker than the hillside.
So if this storm continues on its current track, for those who are commuting on Monday, those who are going back to school on Monday, is it likely that they're going to still be dealing with this?
The precip will probably be over on Sunday, but one thing that always makes meteorologists look good or bad depends on what the road crews are able to do. If they get out ahead of it, and if they treat while it's ongoing on Sunday, because it's going to be ending by, you know, at least the heaviest, by Sunday evening, that should give them most of the overnight hours Sunday into Monday to take care of things. Most of the accumulation will be done in that same time period. So any leftovers will still be lasting on Monday. However, as you know, if we're talking Arctic air and we're talking gusty winds, are the kids going to be on the street corner waiting for the bus?
Right.
And the side streets, when you're trying to get a bus over gravel, are they going to, if they're not treated, something as heavy as a school bus, are they going to say, let's not keep those school buses out, like in Johnson County, Missouri, I'm talking, like near Warrensburg or even up toward Liberty or other areas, not necessarily within the 435 loop or on an interstate. Anything less traveled is obviously going to be treated not quite as quick as everything else. And so those are the other factors that play into it. The storm will be over on Monday, I think, for the most part, but the cleanup or the change to get it back to where we like it may take a little longer.
You know, we were talking about this yesterday because everyone's like, oh, here comes the weather. We have sort of dodged this bullet, though, for quite a while, Brian. Mm-hmm. I feel like, I mean, we're into January now without a massive paralyzing snow event.
True. And not only that, but I mean, it's very rare for Kansas City to get a heavy snow over 3 to 5 inches, honestly. I'm in the shadow of Neville, and I know Neville is our resident climatologist and statistician. Do you remember right off the top of your head, Neville, the last time we had a heavier snow? Now his ears are poking up. I'm putting him on the spot.
Oh, God.
Okay, good.
He's I was getting so excited.
Oh,
I can hear
yeah.
it. I can hear it in his voice.
I'd say 2013 is the last time we had a snow that was close to 3 inches.
So 2013, so that's what, almost a decade ago that we had a snow kind of like this one? And I know people are already talking, you know, I'll believe it when I see it. And you, what's funny is, even when it does happen, and we are pretty much correct, I hear crickets. Nobody's like, hey, they got this one right. People remember when we're wrong, but they forget how many days in a row that we've actually been pretty much
fair point.
Well, they say that to you. Do you remember 17 years ago during the October surprise? Do you get people that say that, and you said this, and it was this, and you're like, really?
Yeah. Let it go. You know.
Okay. I just looked at the forecast for next week. And not that meteorologists are to blame for the weather forecast, which I've always found unfair. Well, thanks a lot. But this forecast sucks.
Why, thank you.
If you hate cold weather, and I do.
Hold on just 1 second. What'd you say, Neville?
February 2013, just under 10 inches.
Okay. Did you hear that?
Yeah. So it's been 10 months, basically.
No, it's been 10 years. It's been 12 years.
2013.
Oh, 2013. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember that one.
I hate to say we're due, but...
Yeah, we are. I mean, it's going to happen. And the other thing that's going to immediately play into it, as we said, is depending on how much over your neighborhood falls as sleet, then changes over to snow, how much falls as all snow, or how much falls as sleet changing over to freezing, or freezing rain changing over to sleet changing over to snow. All those play into it. And so I can be totally right for Lee Summit and totally wrong for Liberty or Lee Wood. That's just the way it goes. Yeah. And one of the things we're not going to try to do, and that's one of the problems also, we show the entire viewing area over 20 counties, and there are going to be some blips and anomalies within that 20-county area. So we're going to try to break it down. But you know, you can even see a difference between one side of town or another.
Oh, sure.
Like, take, for example, in the spring, you can use your windshield wipers for one or two city blocks and nowhere else, and the sun is shining. About the same thing can happen with a snowstorm, where you get pockets of it being heavier, and it may be on the higher end. If you had to put me on the spot right now, I'd say 4 to 7 for the metro, heavier to the north along 36 Highway, lighter down to the south. But that's subject to change for looking at something over 2,000 miles away. One of the other things that always comes up, and I know we're getting close to break, people wonder, you know, why did it change? It's because new information comes in. With all due respect to that horrible day, 9/11, the first report was an explosion. Then it was a Cessna accidentally, and then it was a Cessna on purpose. And we're allowed our news people to gather new information and change. If, let's just say, if Andy Reid thinks that the running game isn't working, is he going to keep going with it? No. He's going to change due to what's going on. Same thing with us. If we see new information, we're going to change that original forecast and fine-tune it to what we think is going to happen.
That's a great analogy.
Thank you, sir. That's why my therapist is on speed dial.
All right, man. We love you. We'll be in touch. Be well. Be safe.
Love you guys, too.
Okay.
Take care, guys.
Take care. I looked at the forecast for next week. By the way, we are already under Operation Stormwatch, and that is brought to you by JR & Company Roofing. The weather forecast for Monday, overnight low of -1, high of 16. Same for Tuesday. Wednesday, -1 for the low, 12 for the high. Thursday, 0 for the low, 23 for the high. Friday, 9 for the low, 22 for the high.
If there's one thing that we learned from Busby, rain is different from snow.
Story here from the Kansas City Star. A man accused of kidnapping a driver using his driveway, then assaulted a deputy who responded to his property, according to authorities in Missouri. Gerald Stouse, who is 65 years old, called 911 on December 28th, stating that someone was using his driveway to turn around.
Called 911.
According to a probable cause statement that was filed in Pettis County. When a deputy arrived at the Sedalia property, the homeowner's pickup truck was seen blocking the car from leaving the driveway. Stouse told the deputy he had intentionally blocked in the driver. The driver said he didn't mean to trespass, according to court documents. He said he was following his GPS, which told him to turn down the driveway that was designated as a throughway. When he tried to turn around, he was met by Stouse, whose truck blocked him in. The deputy told Stouse that he needed to move his truck. But the homeowner began screaming and insulting the officer. He is accused of acting belligerent as he swung open the door of his truck, striking the deputy. Stouse then allegedly shoved the deputy out of the way. The deputy tried to put handcuffs on the homeowner, but he refused to comply and returned to his truck.
You might be asking.
He was later tased.
Why are we talking about a crazy person who lives, 90 miles southeast of Kansas City? This is around the Sedalia area. As I was talking to Sam about this story in the newsroom, Sam said to me, I have turned around in the wrong driveway twice.
Specifically rural driveways.
And quote, I will never do it again. That's why we're talking about this.
What happened?
Why?
I now, if I get lost when I'm out in the sticks, I will do a 3-point turn on the highway, and I can hear the highway patrollers cringing because that is not safe. Obviously, don't do it if there's cars coming. But on two separate occasions, I was driving on rural, you know, lake highways, the windy, curvy highways.
Yes.
And one of the times I drove right past our turn to where we were camping, and I saw an open driveway. I pulled into the driveway, threw the truck in reverse to back out. And I see the front door fly open, and there is somebody running out of the front door. This was like probably, I don't know, 50 yards away from me with a shotgun in their hand. You can imagine I hit the gas pedal pretty hard.
I'm telling you, Scott, people are crazy.
And it's specifically the rural driveway because, you know, you live in a very densely populated area. You get people using your driveway to turn around semi-regularly. If you live, you know, maybe near the corner of an intersection or something like that, these people never see this.
But what kind of person calls 911 and says there's someone trespassing, turning around in my driveway? And let me follow that up with another question. Is that trespassing? I would argue it is not. Doing the three-point turn in and cockamamie backing out to get out of there and go the opposite direction, I mean, is not trespassing.
I've lost count over the years how many times I've turned around my car in somebody else's driveway.
Now, granted, I've done it tons of times.
Yeah, but granted, these are in neighborhoods, and I wouldn't say people are used to it. Like, if I see it on my Ring doorbell, I'm like, who's in the driveway? And then I realize
it's someone turning around.
Somebody who went too far, and they're just turning around and going back. And I don't have a problem with it.
Your first thought is, I'm going to call 911.
No.
And then run out and block the person in with my truck. I mean,
no.
And I don't want to make this rural versus city, because—
Oh, it most certainly is.
Maybe it is.
But, you know, we had a young man nearly shot and killed knocking on the wrong door in a neighborhood. That was not in the sticks.
Fair point.
Where that happened. So I think the message is—
Are we just paranoid or are we jerks?
Scott, I think people are crazy. I really do.
Certainly paranoid weighs in heavily here.
Who calls 911 because someone's turning around in your driveway? You should be fined for that.
And when you're turning around in somebody's driveway, do you ever stop your car for more than 2 or 3 seconds? And that's just to put it in reverse?
Nope.
And if you are doing that, do you have your flashers on? Because you should.
Are you serious?
You should. That lets them know that I'm not here to do anything nefarious. I got my flashers on.
But you understand what you're saying, that people are now so crazy that you should put your flashers on when you're turning around in someone's driveway, which that's even overstating what this was. He wasn't turning around in the driveway. He didn't drive
he
all the way
up,
turn around. That's not what he did.
This wasn't like South
This
Fork.
Was the pull in 5 feet,
yeah.
Hit reverse, pull out. And when he went to pull out, the homeowner was behind
him. Now, he must have pulled in a little bit farther than that, because this crazy lunatic homeowner, allegedly crazy lunatic homeowner, Gerald Stouse, had time to call 911 and get into his truck if he wasn't already in his truck. Yeah. And block this guy in, allegedly.
Well, and something tells me that this guy has had a problem in the past. I'm not defending the way that he reacted, obviously, but something tells me he's had a problem in the past of people stealing things from his property.
I don't know, Sam. I think we're giving him way too much credit.
I think this was a first-time aggressive
reaction?
Yeah,
I think sometimes people are just short fuse crazy. And I would entertain calls from our listeners. If you live somewhere where your driveway is routinely used for people to turn around, either because the GPS has the address wrong or because you just live in one of those areas where you are the driveway where people use that to turn around. I had a guy that lived, he's long since passed, God rest his soul. He lived across Caddy Corner from us for all 22 years that we were there. Okay. He had a circle asphalt drive,
right.
Not very big, but just a tiny little half circle, half moon drive. And he constructed one day out of a block of wood, you know, a 4 foot cubed block of wood, and he put 4 reflector stakes through the wood, which I'm guessing involved like a drill. And then he would pull that out, Scott, and plop it down at the foot of the half moon circle driveway, as if to say to people, don't use this circle drive to turn around.
Oh, there was a house right by my house, my high school, with the same circle drive, and they took the time to bury posts, so they were nice, thick concrete posts, and put a heavy chain across the driveway.
Okay. I wouldn't want people turning around on my property.
No, I would not
20
either.
Times a day.
Not,
but
no,
I
regularly.
Remember when the old guy, God bless him, God rest his soul again, I thought, man, he must be paranoid. Why else would you construct a blockade?
Either that, or of all the driveways on the block, because his is half circle, his is chosen more often than not, because you don't have to get into reverse.
Yeah.
You just drive through.
Drive up and around.
Right. Now, I would argue it sounds more paranoid than practical.
The whole thing was the size of the studio, Scott.
Yeah.
I don't want people thinking this was some enormous roundabout thing. It was just this tiny little up and down.
Now, I have had people pull into my driveway who and knock on my door or get out of their car while I'm out working in the yard, and they're at the wrong house. Because I have a Chiefs, like, door sign, Kansas City Chiefs door sign.
Yeah.
But I have two favorite teams. I also fly a Pittsburgh Steelers flag. The neighbor two doors south of me is also a huge Steelers fan, and all their friends know it.
Okay.
I've had people pull into my driveway thinking I'm Franco when I'm Scott.
Why don't we just take the flag down?
Why?
Because it causes mass confusion. You have two Steelers fans on one block. Does that happen anywhere else in America?
Two within three doors of each other in Pittsburgh. 9-1.
Wow. I'm a unicorn. I'm sorry.
I had to get an aggressive dig on the Steelers in there.
Shauna in Lenexa. Hello, Shauna.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
I'm cracking up. I think, yeah, this guy is totally nuts. We live in suburbia Lenexa, big neighborhood, and we also live on the corner of a very busy road, a main thoroughfare. And, I mean, you could make a TV show out of it. We get people turning into our driveway all the time. They get broke down in front of our house. They need gas. They get pulled over in front of our house. They get in wrecks on that main drive. We've had our driveway blocked from the barbecue. I mean, you just got to roll with it and, like, you know, grab the popcorn and take it easy.
Wow. Okay. All right. Shauna, do appreciate the call. Dan in Independence. Dan, good afternoon. Hello.
Hello, I'm pretty firm on nobody pulling in and out of my driveway to turn around. I live two houses down from a corner, and twice this has happened in the past 2 years where somebody has backed in, hit my vehicle, and broken the back glass. My insurance rates have gone up because of it.
They back in to turn around?
They pulled in. Well, one guy actually did back in, and his ladder broke my back glass.
Oh, good Lord.
The other person was only, I think, 17 or 18 and didn't know the brake from the clutch and ran right into the back of my car.
Hmm.
So I finally called the Independence Police Department and said, what can I do? And they said, well, put up a no trespassing sign, put up a no turnaround private drive sign. So I did that. Well, people were still pulling in and out, and so I called them back and I said, am I allowed to put spike strips up? And they said, you sure can.
Oh,
I get home, I flip them spike strips on. Yep, there's nothing illegal because it's my own property.
Dan, whoa. You put spike strips down on your driveway?
Yep, they're automatic where I can push the button and they'll come on or go off.
Okay, but aren't you concerned that if someone pulls up there to turn around, and I'm guessing you still have a sign that says no turning around, that if someone pulls up to turn around, now all of their tires are flat, they are now an angry caged rat trapped in your driveway, which is just going to escalate the entire situation.
It's possible. Only two people have had their front tires flattened, and I call the cops immediately, and they come out and take the report and tow the vehicle. They actually get ticketed, too. They've ticketed both people.
This has happened twice?
For what? Trespassing?
Twice. They pull in. I put the spike strips up after my insurance rates went up because I had to pay for my damage to my vehicle twice. So I figure if they're going to keep doing it, then they can pay for damage to their vehicle.
Oh, man. Dan, wow, I did not have this on my bingo card.
Like I said, maybe it's a one in a million thing, but with the price of my vehicle, and the back glass is literally about $4,000 for it. So I just, like I said, I got tired of having to do it. Everything I'm doing is perfectly legal. And that's pretty much all I really have to say on the subject.
Yeah, all right, Dan, I guess if they tell you it's your right to do that, but that's basically booby trapping your own driveway.
There goes the text line with that very phrase. How is this not a booby trap
because
on your property?
Because it can't kill you the way a guy wire would if you were a motorcyclist driving
on private property.
The spikes aren't going to kill you, but
you're asking for trouble.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
If he has called police after both of these incidents and they showed up and didn't charge him with anything, I would argue, yeah, it's probably legal for him to be doing this.
Well, and that may be true. However, what happens when the angry person who just had to pay $250 in new tires.
Rat in the cage.
Comes back on a Saturday night and wants to do you some trouble.
I'm looking up how much are spike strips for my driveway. I mean, that seems... they're not expensive. You can get that on Amazon, too.
Okay. All right. Okay. 913-586-7798.
I wouldn't suggest it.
586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. All right, we're talking about this story in the Kansas City Star. It's out of Sedalia, where a property owner, 65 years old, Gerald Staus, has been charged with some relatively minor, because one of them is third-degree kidnapping, because somebody was trying to turn around in his rural driveway, and he called 911 and immediately blocked this person in with his truck and would not move. When authorities showed up, he allegedly got a little aggressive, ended up having to be tased.
Yeah, and I would argue that blocking someone in with your truck because they're turning around in your driveway is also overly aggressive. Legally, they call it kidnapping. They called it kidnapping, Scott.
Again, not condoning this behavior, but we did get a little bit more insight from a couple of callers who couldn't hang on the line. This property in particular is right along the highway.
Okay.
Whether that paints the picture of this happens all the time or not, I don't know. Secondly, somebody called in, and this is just a theory of theirs, but there's no way that this guy had time to see this guy pull in, hop in his truck, and then pull behind the guy. Is there a chance that he was coming home from wherever he was coming home from?
That's probably more likely.
Saw the vehicle in his driveway and parked behind it.
I don't think so, because at that point, you would not be charged with kidnapping. You would be charged with anything. It would be just a misunderstanding, and you would say, oh, sorry, go ahead. I mean, what if it was an Amazon driver? What if there's any number of reasons someone could be pulling into your driveway.
But it becomes kidnapping when you refuse to move.
Yeah.
When you realize that this person is just turning around in your driveway. Yep.
And now you are blocked in.
And you refuse to move. You won't move your truck. I can't leave. I'm stuck on your property. That fits the definition of kidnapping.
Yeah.
Jenny in Lathrop. Jenny, hello.
Hey, guys. Love the show. I just wanted to call because I'm from a small town. My parents live out in the country. We're probably 5 miles from town, and our driveway is a fourth of a mile long. It is clearly a driveway, but people pull up it all the time like they own the place. My dad has his chair set just so that he can see outside in case someone's coming up.
Yeah.
A couple times it has been the police, because once there was a bull loose from the rodeo, just to make sure he wasn't on our property. And then it was someone who was running from the police and was hiding in our tree row, actually.
Not okay.
There's a reason that he sits there and watches, but I will say that the one lady who pulled up while he was sitting in his swimming pool didn't even wave, just drove up all the way to the barn, turned around. He did flip her off pretty hard.
Oh.
She drove away.
See, I don't like the driving all the way up to the driveway to the house to turn around. That, to me, starts to feel like maybe trespassing a little bit.
It's invasive.
It's invasive. Mm-hmm. Just the pull in for the 5 feet, back out, leave, no.
Lisa in Liberty. Lisa, good afternoon. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
So I just am listening to all this, and we have a really long drive as well, just like the last lady said, and we would have people flying through our property out in the country in Liberty, and we actually had to gate our property. So when I heard the guy putting the tax strip out, I think that's an amazing idea myself, because why, no matter how short your driveway is, it's your property. And the guy said he put signage out to not enter. So if you enter and it pops your tires, that's not on him. And I understand you saying somebody get in there and get real aggressive because you've done that, but he did the right thing, called the police. They took care of it. And I mean, why should our property, no matter how far in, should it be open to anybody and everybody that wants to come on it?
I don't think I don't think it should be open to anyone and everyone. But I also think the reaction would need to meet the infraction. And there is clearly not a balance in this case.
And the text line seems to be divided. And I'm no lawyer. Don't even pretend to be one. But from the text line, I'll take, you can't do that for $500, Alex. Spike strips are illegal. But the previous caller said he was told by the police department in Independence that they're perfectly legal. Mm. I find that hard to believe.
What I found on Amazon, there are products you can buy that look like spike strips, but it's more of a visual barrier. So you put it down, they're orange, right. It looks like So most people would be like, oh, I'm not going to drive over that.
Don't know what I'm driving over.
Even though it would not do any real harm to the car.
Yeah. Mike in Shawnee, we have 30 seconds. Can you do it in 30 seconds?
Yes. So growing up out in the country, the people out in the country are often targets for people in the city to come out and steal their things, like their tractors, their farm equipment, maybe break into their house. So I could see where people in the country would be a little more wary of someone pulling into their driveway, because also out in the country, people are a little more old school. If somebody's coming over, they phone ahead and somebody knows about it. The people don't just randomly show up at your house. So I would see the suspicion and concern.
Well, the only argument I would make in regards to that, Mike, and I'm not saying you're wrong, but it would be difficult for me to understand why somebody from the city would want to steal a tractor. I don't know what they would do with it.
I think they're in your yard more to dump dogs. We've heard that over and over again.
When I was younger, we went to visit one of my best friends at his farm property. He knew that we were coming, but he didn't recognize the vehicle. When he saw the vehicle coming down the road, he turned and bolted. I asked him why, and he said, because you never know what that person is there for. They could be there to shoot you.
They could be there to turn around.
They could be there to bring you a...
This was one of my best friends.
Strawberry cheesecake. You don't know.
Bolted.
News with Dan Weinbaum coming your way in less than 2 minutes here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.